You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
You know what I always say before a podcast? Rose essential oil. I am so nostalgic. I have this old beat up bottle by Nature Hue. This is 100% rose essential oil. And every time I smell it, I go right back to spring in South Carolina. One of those first warm days that you're cleaning the house and you can keep the windows open and you want to diffuse a yummy scent. And I see my two cats that I lost tragically there with me, enjoying the beautiful open windows and the breeze coming in every single time. I love this oil. Not only is rose like the highest frequency oil, so they say in measure, but I don't think it smells like a grandma like most people do. It reminds me of just love, just peace, just high vibe, high frequency energy. I love it so much. Not an ad. Hi, guys. Oh, what an episode this is set to be. I've been teasing it all month since my birthday. My gosh. Welcome to the podcast episode about 2024 astrology. I normally don't take breaks during recording. I literally just stumble on in here, sniff my rose, and hit record just like I have since 2018 when we began. But I may need to pause and go use the restroom, take a walk. This may be a long one. So get your pen, get your paper, get your mind cleared and ready. If you're on a long road trip, settle in, put it in cruise. If you're traveling, walking through an airport, maybe my voice will soothe you and calm you down, that frantic energy that you feel in there. And let's dive in to 2024 astrology. Welcome to the episode of all episodes. I'm your host and your astrologer, Stephanie Powers, and I cannot wait to share with you what is to come in 2024. I don't know about you, and it could be an entire new episode, but I feel like life has been in overdrive in terms of the punches from the universe, kicks from God, just lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. Since 2016, 2011 was pretty cool, had some stuff. 2012 was really lovely for me. I had a good year. 2013 was beautiful yet terrible. 2014 was pretty calm. 2015 was pretty good. And then 2016 rolled up. And I don't know what it is, but it just feels like every year since then has just been quantum leaps in adulting, maturing, soul development. And it's been wild. But we made it. If you're listening to this, you made it to 2024. My God, I still feel like whenever we look at movies on Netflix and we're like, remember that? Yeah, it feels like it just came out yesterday. It came out in 2010, which was now 14 years ago. Like, what? Is this just getting old? Is this what every generation does when they're like, whoa, where did time go? It's wild. And 2024 is set to be another year that feels like it goes by in a blink of an eye. If you felt like 2023 kind of dragged on, especially from about May until September, you're right. There were a lot of retrogrades this year, planets that were seemingly moving backwards in the sky, influencing our energy down here to feel like we're going backwards. Like, no, I've put in so much work since 2016. I'm ready to take off. I'm ready to get out of here. Let me go. But you're stuck and you can't move. And now 2024 is set to have a lot of forward momentum. In fact, I'm going to call this podcast the dawn of a new era. And before I get into why, I want to surprise you guys with something really cool. You've heard me talk about it a few times, but we have a free newsletter that I send out every Monday morning at 12:01 a.m. Central Standard Time on the dot. It's called What's New and Good. And I send this letter to you guys as a way to stay connected when social media goes down. Oh, what? Is that happening in 2024? As a way to stay connected with you guys in such a timeless way, which is through email. And no, I do not pump advertisements. I don't share master classes on it. Of course, I'll share the readings every now and then, but it's just a newsletter that doesn't come with pushing anything. It's just straight from the heart. It's purity. It's stories about being a spiritual being, having a human experience, being a human who is having a spiritual experience. It's real. It's authentic. It doesn't come with any filters or algorithms. And I think it's what a lot of our hearts are craving right now. But what's surprising about this newsletter is I'm going to add a little fun to it. Every first of the month, so the first Monday of the month, I'm going to give away a free basic birth chart reading. That's right, $175 value. I'm giving it away for free. I'm going to find some sort of software to pull a hat out of the proverbial bot or pull a name out of the proverbial hat of subscribers and pick one person to win a free reading. Why? Because I'm thankful for you guys. I'm going to give somebody a free 1 hour birth chart reading every month who is on our list of subscribers. Because I'm so thankful for you. I wouldn't be where I am without you, and I never want you to forget my gratitude. So that's why we're doing it. Subscribe to the newsletter at lightworkers-lounge.com. A pop-up should appear when you go there, and if it doesn't, swoop all the way down to the bottom of the website, and there's a place to hit your email. Come join us. You know, when I share these stories, I don't think people realize if you hit reply, it goes directly to me. But a lot of you do, and so we're kind of pen pals on email. It's amazing. It's amazing. My most responded to email of 2023 was when I shared the story of how I've never been a bridesmaid or a maid of honor. I've never been in a wedding. I've been a photographer of weddings. Does that count? But I've never been in a wedding. And, you know, I don't have sisters and I've struggled with friendships. And so I've never experienced that. And now that I'm aging out of wedding season, wedding ages, it's like, oh my gosh. Should I grieve this or should it be kind of a badge of honor? Did I miss out on something or did I actually dodge a bullet? Oh, it was such a good email and you guys had so much to say. It fills my cup, all pun intended, to make a latte in the morning on Tuesday morning and read all of your responses. You guys are incredible people. I wish all of you had a podcast that I could listen to because when you invest in a reading with me and we get to share our life's experiences, first, it's wild how much your lives mirror mine. I'm just the girl on the microphone sharing it, but your lives are eerily similar to mine. And it's so cool to hear from you and hear what you've been through, what you've experienced. It's amazing. So thank you. But I just wanted to announce that we're giving away a free basic birth chart reading. This is where I'll go over your sun, your moon, and your rising sign with you for an hour for free. If you are a subscriber to the Monday morning What's New and Good newsletter, lightworkers-lounge.com, pop your email and your name in and subscribe for your chance to win. The first one is coming up on Monday. All right. The dawn of a new era. This is probably what you'll see and hear from all of your favorite astrologers. Human design is in it too. Psychics, mediums, intuitives, maybe even religious leaders. Everybody can feel this. And what this is Pluto moving into Aquarius. Go back in the archives. I had a major episode about this in March of 2023. And then I talked about it again just last week. December 2023. So go back and listen to those if you're curious to go into detail of what it means. But here's your spark notes. Pluto is the furthest, most outer planet. He's generational. I was born in 1988, year to date. So everyone born around this time, these are people born in 1994, people born in 1984, everyone around 88 with me shares the Pluto and Scorpio generation. It's a dawn of a new era. And for the last 15 years, since 2008, we've had Pluto in Capricorn. So babies born from 2008 until now are our Pluto in Capricorn generation. They're all wearing these, like, I imagine, forest green jerseys, and they're here to bring structure to the shit that we Pluto and Scorpio people have uncovered for them, right? It's amazing. So Pluto does not change signs often. In fact, doing the math on this, if the average human lifespan is about 90 years, we will only see him go through about 4, maybe 5 signs in our lifetime. So his transits, especially on our personal charts, are extremely potent. But for the sake of understanding 2024 astrology as a whole, I'm going to speak about these transits as a collective. So Pluto moving into Aquarius. Pluto represents death and rebirth. Aquarius represents friends, community, social media, networking, and hopes and dreams. Aquarius are the inventors, the innovative people. They're incredible. I always tell you, you'll never meet someone with heavy Aquarius in their chart that says, "You're weird. That's so weird." That's not in their vocabulary. They think everything is interesting and can be used to create a utopia in their mind that can further and better improve the lives of everyone around them. Aquarians know the value of friendships and just knowing people. They love to make connections. And even though some of them can come off as aloof or similar to their air sign cousin Gemini, they can feel like they're two-faced or they're all over the place. It's what they came here to do. Aquarians came here for connections, not commitments. Leave that to the Taurus and the Scorpio signs. But Aquarius as a whole rules the community. Think about that word. What does your current community look like? Do you talk to your neighbors? Do you know them? If your neighbor came over and knocked on your door to ask for a cup of sugar, would you be like, "What the fuck are they doing here?" Or would you be like, "Hey, Bob, how's it going? Is your dog all right? I know he went to the vet last week." Like, what do you know about your neighbors? And what about social media communities? Oh my gosh, guys, wait, pause. Speaking of social media communities, I have another announcement. Kaya, the red healer we found in the marsh in front of our house that we've been fostering, found her forever home. She's gone. She left yesterday. And this ties perfectly into a social media community. I was using the app called Nextdoor. If you don't have it, I highly recommend. It's usually a lot of the older generation, but I love it. You can just talk with your neighbors through this app. Like, "Hey, someone stole my bike last night. Lock yours up. Hey, does anybody know of a good dog sitter?" It's wonderful. I just love it. Well, I posted Kaya on there and I got so much traction with the neighbors in this town we're living in South Texas on the coast. And they helped me out more than any rescue, honestly, with no disrespect to the rescues. These people helped me out day in and day out. We found a woman who recently lost her dog. He got out when he was being babysat while she was out of town visiting the grandkids, and her heart has been broken. She's got reward flyers all over town, but he unfortunately was never found. So she was like, "Okay, I don't know if my heart's ready for a new dog, but I'll foster her because I'm retired. I've got all the time in the world. I live on 5 acres with horses and chickens." And that's what, you know, Kaya's a red heeler, which is an Australian cattle dog. These dogs are bred for work, not a tiny cottage with two entrepreneurs who are working all day. No, it was the worst situation, but we made it work. And so she said, "I'll foster her for you." And I was like, "Perfect. I'll stay in touch with all the rescues and all the websites that she's up on, but you just provide her care and her training." Well, Kaya's a very special needs dog. She's very aggressive. She's got a very abusive past that we don't know what happened, but we found her pretty roughed up. We were very nervous yesterday when we went to drop her off with this kind woman and her husband. But within 4 hours, she sends me a photo of her laying on the floor with Kaya's new collar on her new dog bed with Christmas toys, biggest smile on her face. And she said, "This dog is the most lovable creature ever. I found my forever dog. She's mine." And she's keeping her. And she sent me a video this morning of Kaya running around the farm with the neighbor's dog, who's also a little skittish and scared, but they became fast friends and they are playing and roughing each other up. You can hear the smile on my face, huh? And all of that happened through a community on an app. It never ceases to amaze me when we pulled up to this woman's yard and we see her horses and her chickens. It's like, it's one thing to put an energy to a face and a profile and text on a phone, but it's a whole other ballgame to rock up to their house, knock on their door, go in their kitchen and living room and be like, "Oh, this is real." Like, now all the other senses, sight, smell, touch are activated. This is real. You're a real person. Even when I meet some of you guys, you always recognize Jeffrey, the pug, first. But then when I see you in person, I'm like, "Oh, wow." Like, you guys are real people. And when you ask, "How's your brother doing?" Your mom's episode about the mushrooms was my favorite. I'm like, "Wait, how do you know my mom?" Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And so this is Aquarian energy. Now you may be wondering, well, Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth. So what's going to go on with our community and social media? Pluto rules the shadows. This is Scorpio's planet. It knows that in order to move through life, we have to learn to transmute poison into medicine. We cannot escape the darkness, the shadows, the dark things of life. No matter how hard we try, we have to own up that there will always be shitty people on the earth doing really dark, barbaric things that we cannot wrap our heads around. It's just always going to exist, but we can forever try and work as hard as we can to minimize its effect on everyone else, but it's just a fact of life, right? This is Pluto's job, to go through and say, "Okay, you guys, like, social media is great. It is amazing, but we cannot deny its impact on our mental health and thus our physical health." When I share about Kaya's story and how amazing it is to have community that helped get her a wonderful, happy ever after, it's also interesting that we live in this town and feel so isolated and alone. Whenever I move somewhere new, it's tough to meet new people. It's easy to meet people on the internet because you can respond when you get the chance. You can just talk whenever you want to, but then you're also addicted to your phone. You're addicted to it. You're addicted to that high. You're addicted to the people on there telling you you're amazing, you're great. But then there's negativity and bullying on social media. The greatest act, where did I write this down in my notes? The greatest act of self-preservation in 2024 and beyond will be to become hyper aware of technology. Hyper aware of its effect on you. Hyper aware and observant of how you are using it. For example, when you use the restroom, when you're waiting in line at the store, after you just finish an intensive Zoom call, do you grab your phone and swipe, 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 scroll, scroll, scroll? What are you looking at and why? I mean, have the Saturnian Capricorn self-discipline to say, "Okay, what were the last 3 posts or TikToks I just watched?" And if you're lucky enough to be able to name them, because most people can't, why? What does this do for me? I know it's so not sexy and fun to do things like that, but it is going to be very, very important to do so. Because Pluto will reveal the dark side of social media. It's going to pull out, it's going to come to light what the algorithms actually do. I was thinking about this in terms of Instagram. Of course, that's really my only thing I use. And as you'll see, more social media apps are going to come flying out of the woodwork over the next 10 years. Flying. I've decided I'm not going to join any of them. It just doesn't resonate. It's weird that Twitter, which is now X, I think, from Elon Musk, I've never had it. I've never wanted it. Facebook, I got rid of in 2018. I haven't been on it, won't go on it. I have one just because you have to have an Instagram, I think. It's weird, but I don't touch it, nor do I want to. I don't know. I don't have words for it. It's just a feeling in my aura and my energy that says, nope, hard pass. And it's going to be this balance of keeping up with the times because you can't completely get off of social media. It's just a part of being a human in the 21st century, right? But when we get too enmeshed with it, too enthralled with it, we've got to take a look at why, what's going on. Why am I so addicted and glued to this? We watched the movie Don't Look Up for the second time last week. We watched it when it first came out and then we're like, let's watch that one again. Oh my God. And it's funny how the cast on that doesn't use social media. I'm thinking of Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Amazing. Probably my favorite male and female actors and actress of all time. Leonardo DiCaprio has social media, but he only uses it to talk about climate change, never about himself. Jennifer Lawrence, you won't find her anywhere. Doesn't have it, can't handle it. And I'm thinking, that is me. It's amazing that these people can say, no, thank you. This is going to be Pluto in Aquarius. Collectively, we may be challenged to really find out what it means to be a community. Can we all band together in the face of some big shadows? How have we done? Can we use social media in the appropriate way that it's supposed to, which is helping find a stray dog a home? It's happily ever after. Or are we going to use it to pull us out of a potential community we could have if we would just show up and get over our fears of social anxiety and learn to communicate, learn patience, learn conflict resolution, and have true intimacy with people in front of us? That feels very soothing and healing. You know, this is kind of jumping ahead into Saturn and Pisces, but spirituality has been really popular over the last like 10 years, especially the last 5. Have you guys noticed that? Wink, wink, Lightworkers Lounge. But now, ever since about the last 2 years, it's really kind of died down. And I imagine, because I talked to you guys, it's because you're realizing, wait, I followed this person. I even went to one of their retreats and holy crap, they are not who I thought they were. This isn't the community I paid for and thought that I was going to receive. Or holy cow, I just spent so much money on that masterclass or whatever it may be on that healing thing and that therapy session and didn't do anything for me. In fact, it kind of caused a little more trauma. I've heard it all, you guys. And so people are now either vastly swinging back to organized religion in an attempt to say, oh my God, that was scary. Or they're landing at this nice pendulum stuck in the middle safe space where they're like, okay, I've got to reparent myself when it comes to spirituality because I was leaning a little too heavy on it. Right? So getting ahead here, but Pluto moving into Aquarius. Expect to see the shadow side of technology, AI, ChatGPT, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, 5G, social media. It's all going to be revealed. It's going to be a very, very interesting time. There's going to be incredible inventions of technology that, gosh, cures cancer or just really improves the human experience and hopefully the whole Earth's experience, animals, plants, nature. It's going to be amazing to see what people come out with. But we may also find that we are shocked by what secrets we find out have been going on with the internet, with the World Wide Web, with social media. Oh, it's going to be so juicy. My Scorpio is frothing. Like, what's it going to be? What's going on? you guys know I'm always talking about, why do I think of things and get an advertisement for it? How come on Instagram it's losing its allure because now everybody has a blue check mark? Everybody's an Instagram model. Everybody. Now you can buy followers. Go ahead and Google it. ClickFarms. You can buy followers. And so Instagram used to be this place of like, whoa, look at these people. They've really accomplished a lot. They've really done. But now everybody has it. Right now, if you have the money to spend, you can buy 200,000 followers. I actually know someone personally who did this, went from 4,000 followers to like 275,000 through purchasing fake followers. You can also purchase fake comments. I'm not making this up, guys. Google it, ClickFarm. You can see pictures of what it is. You can purchase the blue check mark. And then so many ClickFarm accounts are making fake accounts. My gosh, you guys remember when that happened to me? People with my name, my picture, my captions, everything. It looked exactly like me, but it wasn't. They just changed one thing in the username and DM'd you saying, Grand Rising love, would you like a reading? And some people sent them money and then they ghosted them. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. And we're going to find out the dark side of social media and how it is affecting the new generation. It's crazy. There are some children roaming the earth who were born with iPads in their hands, right? It's going to be a wild time, but it's ultimately going to lead us into being one human family. So this kicks off. We already had a taste of Pluto in Aquarius in March 2023. Pluto is going to move back into Aquarius on January 22nd, 2024, before it goes retrograde all summer. And then finally, as if it couldn't get any more synchronistic, Pluto will settle permanently into Aquarius on November 19th, 2024, the day before the U.S. presidential election. Whoa. That's a pretty big deal, huh? The next important part of astrology in 2024 is, of course, Saturn in Pisces. Hi, everybody who's got their Saturn in Pisces. How's your first or second Saturn return going? Are we ready to roll up our sleeves and say, fine, I'll put in the work. I'll do it. Right? Don't get caught up in the, Saturn return is hell on earth. It's awful. It's terrible. Only if you want it to be. Life is a Rubik's Cube, guys. You get to choose what angle you look at things from. I want to remind you, your Saturn return can be a core memory for life of a good thing. If you're new here, when I had my Saturn return, I didn't know it at the time because I wasn't in astrology studies yet. But I literally filed for divorce on the day of my Saturn return. And then Saturn went retrograde on the day she went direct again on the same degree as my Saturn in Capricorn is the day I walked to the mailbox 6 months later and got my divorce decree to get my last name back. I mean, it was amazing. It was sad. Of course, divorce is never an easy process, no matter the situation. And it was tough. It was scary. It was, holy shit, I'm an adult. And I am an adult walking into a courthouse and signing legal papers. This is real shit. Hi, Saturn. Nice to meet you. Ah. And then for the first time in my life, I had to financially support myself, which was scary. I've always had roommates. And then immediately got married. So it was just like, holy crap, Saturn and Capricorn coming in strong. But what came during that time was Lightworkers Lounge. And I showed up every single day for this podcast, for this community, and it became my job. And so I don't look back at my Saturn return and think, oh God, I got divorced. It was so hard. I look back at it as the most freeing, liberating, strong time of my life. I still hit roadblocks. I still have days, weeks, sometimes months where I just feel low. I hide it well, don't I? And I'm like, I can't get through this. I can't fucking do this. I can't. And then I remember what I did when I was 29. And I say, oh, yes, you can. And so now I have this motto where I'm like, the thing I tell myself I can't do, I dive headfirst into it. Whether it's a cold plunge that I'm like, oh, I can't stay in here one more minute, I sit for two. Oh, you think I'd have more Capricorn in it, but no. When I do things like that, I feed my Saturn. So if your Saturn is in Pisces, it is your karmic lesson to learn to see people, things, reality for who and what they really are, not what you romanticize them to be. You have a lesson to not get addicted to the vices, to the frequency shifters, the mushrooms, the weed, the coke, the alcohol, the sex, the food, the TV, the phone. You guys have a propensity to be addicted to these things and tap out of the difficult things in life and throw yourself into those yummy things. Don't do it. Learn moderation in the house that your Saturn sits in. Now, collectively, Saturn is coming through this spiritual arena. She's coming through addiction, and she's saying, all right, enough. We've got an opioid crisis that is out of control. We have got too many people faking who they are, now using filters and artificial intelligence to really fake who they are. We're done. We need to get real. We need to have guidelines. We need to have structure. On the internet, we need to have structure with prescription medication. We need to have self-discipline with spirituality. We need to help people with mental health struggles. It's time to stop sending money to things and places that don't need it. It's time to put that towards the people next to us and help them with mental health, help them with addiction, help them with being stuck in a fantasy they don't want to be in anymore. Pisces rules arts and entertainment, singing, songwriting, actors, film falls under this. Saturn is coming through and saying, enough. I think of Taylor Swift, who was like, hey, Ticketmaster, enough. Hey, Apple, enough. I think of the amazing people who are saying, fuck you to record labels. I'm going to do my own thing and you can't tell me what to do. They're saying enough. It's really cool to see. And this is Saturn churning through Pisces through all of 2024. Now, another really rare aspect in 2024 that we're all going to experience is Jupiter conjunct sitting on top of Uranus. This transit only happens every 14 years, so it's very rare. And this time it's in the sign of Taurus. So I'll stop right here and say, hi, Taurian people. This is my Taurus sun, Taurus moon, Taurus rising especially. This is your year. Taurus just went through it having the eclipses on their sign. It's been really tough for people with Taurus in the big three over the last 2.5 years. Like really, really tough. And finally, Taurus is a very hardworking sign. Finally, they are getting their miracle, their breakthrough. Uranus is the Aquarian planet. It's innovation, surprise, rebelling, breaking free, shocking innovations. When Jupiter, planet of blessings, abundance, good luck, good karma, when he touches this, it's blessings magnified. It's shocking change of events that are like a happy tears of joy shocking. And so when this happens, oh my goodness, when this happens, take a look at the area of your chart ruled by Taurus and put a big smiley face and a, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this. And this is going to be April 20th to 21st, 2024. Jupiter conjunct Uranus at 21 degrees Taurus. So do find where Taurus rules in your chart and get excited for what's to come. And my Geminis, Gemini sun, Gemini moon, Gemini rising. This is also a really great year for you because when Jupiter wraps up his transit through Taurus in May 2024, he's going to move into Gemini. So let's rewind back to Jupiter and Taurus, okay? Because I talked about it individually, but collectively, Taurus rules our financial system. It rules the climate. It rules Earth. It's Mother Earth. We could see blessings and good luck with this, or we may see issues with our financial systems, with our food supply, with climate change magnified from January until May 2024. Now, when Jupiter moves into Gemini, we're going to see the media, newspapers, blogs, magazines, how you receive information dramatically change in a good way. Pluto's going to be in Aquarius saying, I'm ready for this. I've been waiting for this. But Jupiter in Gemini is going to blow up all media, right? You see how this is working with the social media and the community aspect of Pluto in Aquarius? It's fascinating. But Jupiter, planet of blessings, abundance, and good luck, is going to move into Gemini. So also look to whatever part of your chart is ruled by Gemini and get excited because it's going to come with good luck. This transit will finish out 2024 for us. And so Gemini suns, Gemini moons, Gemini risings. Oh, you're so lucky. When Jupiter moves into Gemini in May, late May 2024, all the way until May 2025. We can see a lot of improvement in education, public school, the media, where you get news from. And collectively, or individually, as a part of the collective, you're really going to pay attention to who and what information you take in every day. Do you see how that overlaps with social media? What are you taking in? What are you being influenced by? That word is so creepy. Does anybody else feel like that word is just disturbing? To say you're being influenced by someone, when someone says, oh, I'm a social media influencer, dude, that's a heavy weight to put on yourself. To know you are influencing people, I hope your shit is straight. That is scary to know you're influencing people. I don't know what's scarier, people who follow blindly the influence. Like I shared with you guys in one episode how I was like, look at those Stanley cups that are all over my Instagram. They look cute. They fit in a cup holder, but they're $50. Like, $50 for a cup. 50 cents for a mason jar from Goodwill that I'm going to end up carrying anyway, even if I get this fancy schmancy cup. All right, I'm going for the ball jar, the mason jar. It's disturbing to me. I don't know. And I think Saturn's going to go through Pisces and have her way with blindly following people, blindly being influenced by advertisements and things we see on the internet. Right? It's absolutely crazy to me that AI is now counseling people. I see astrology coaches. When I'm doing my own astrology research, I saw one today that was an AI intimacy coach. Artificial intelligence and intimacy in the same sentence feels so inherently wrong in my skin, bones, and teeth that I don't know how anybody else doesn't see that. Like, to me, it's the mental health crisis shining bright that we were just talking about. That people can think that an artificial intelligence can help them heal. Maybe I'm being biased. Maybe I'm being close-minded to it, but this is my truth. It just feels so wrong, right? And this is that Pluto in Aquarius, the shadow side. Maybe I'll be proven wrong and get my mind changed. I'm a Sag. I love it. Let's do it. But it right now, from where I look at it, it just feels like, what is the point? I feel like it's such a waste of resources to be creating things like that when we should be creating things in person that are real, that we are sure of. Moving on. Jupiter enters Gemini. May goes all the way till May 2025. Ooh, this is going to be exciting and very cerebral. You know, Pluto has been in Capricorn. Jupiter has been in Taurus. These are heavy earth signs. If you felt like the last year felt just heavy, slow, not fast enough for your taste, well, when Pluto moves into Aquarius, an air sign, and Jupiter moves into Gemini, an air sign, whoo, when I tell you guys 2024 is going to go by in a blink of an eye. It's going to be fast. This is going to be great for people who work in fields like higher education, teaching, writing, podcasting, publishing. These fields are getting a mwah, kiss from the universe. Now, the eclipses. Aries and Libra, will you please stand up? The eclipses just spent 2.5 years in Taurus and Scorpio. As I was saying, those two are tired. They need a little good luck. Taurus, Jupiter's giving you a kiss. Now, Aries in Libra, with a surprise cameo, the eclipse in Pisces. That's right. It will dip into Pisces and Virgo just once this year, but most of it's going to be in Aries and Libra. Collectively, we are experiencing energies that are encouraging us to finally stop being people pleasers, to stop dreaming of relationships to get better and start making them better, and realizing that it all starts and ends with us. We, say it with me, we cannot control anyone but ourselves. And in this social media age of self-development, self-improvement, we have psychology, amazing psychology and personal development tools at our fingertips. At our fingertips. What a blessing. What a blessing. But sometimes we can misuse those things and think, well, I wish my mom would read this. I wish my dad would take this to heart. Or, oh, I wish my boyfriend or my husband would just read this and understand this is his problem. And he needs, if he could just get over this and heal this, he'll be fine. And he'll be a great partner for me and our kids. And he'll be so much better. But that's not the case. And if you want to make real change, what part of you finds a person like that attractive? What part of you settles for someone that lights you up a little bit, but overall, you just wish you could change and help improve them, make them better and better? Because once they become the person you push them to be, there will be something else. And it'll continue. And you'll never feel satisfied. I said this quote earlier in the summertime on a podcast episode, and you guys have loved it. I said, love someone for who they are or leave them alone. Don't send them posts on Instagram. Don't send them TikTok. Don't send them this podcast episode. Love them for who they are or leave them alone. If they want to improve, they will ask. If they don't ask, they don't want to. Right? I always tell people, like, the teacher, the material will not appear until the student is ready. But we live in an age of information overload, and we love people who are special to us. We love them, and it drives us nuts, especially if we've got 6,000 Virgo placements, to sit on our hands and watch them absorb their awful natural consequences of their lifestyle. I have the golden key. Just please take it and unlock it and then step out this way and you're free. You don't have to suffer and you don't have to make me suffer and our kids suffer and our family suffer. Just do this. Here, read this post. Watch this TikTok. This podcast is amazing. It's exactly what you need to hear. It's going to go in one ear and out the other until they're ready. Love someone for who they are or leave them alone. And all of that go-getter energy you have that you want to pour into someone else, pour it back into you, says Aries. Because when you do that, you find that a partner or a best friend or a family member, when they see you thriving, they go, hey, wait a second, you look and feel great. I want a sip of whatever you're sipping on. What podcast do you listen to again? Can I check it out? That's the secret. You're welcome. So the eclipses in Aries and Libra are going to challenge us to boldly step into our individuality if we are in partnership, doing it in our relationship. But if we're not in partnership, it's going to ask us to really get clear on who we want in our life. If you have a fear of intimacy, a fear of love, if you've turned cold and pessimistic towards the idea of marriage and love, let these eclipses open you back up. Let these eclipses melt the ice around your heart. Just might find the one. If you can give up the temptation of having a name pop up on your phone every morning for someone who really values you, honors boundaries, wants to grow and evolve and learn with you. Oh, it's going to be a fun eclipse season. Mercury retrograde is the final big transit of 2024. We have retrogrades and eclipses every year. You know that, right? So, of course, social media, kind of a dark side of it is we blow things up. Everyone that comes to me with Saturn and Pisces is shaking in their boots, so worried about what's to come. And I just say, you guys, stop it. I'm going to smack you through the Zoom camera. Like, cut it out. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Don't believe the TikToks that say, oh, you're going to get a divorce and your mom's going to die. No, stop that. And Mercury retrograde, we're always like, oh, shit, I need to buy a new car. Gosh, I have to sign my lease. They say, don't do it. No. It happens every year. Work with it, not against it. But do not let astrology control your life. Use the stars. Don't let the stars use you. Use spirituality. Don't let spirituality guide you. Saturn and Pisces. Mercury retrograde just finished going retrograde in Earth signs. It went retrograde this year and the past 2 years, actually, in Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn. We were really learning a lot about money, saving, investing, and finances. We were learning a lot about where and what to call home. And we were learning self-discipline with our attitudes, with our anger, with our emotions, with our vices. We were learning self-discipline in those areas of life with Mercury's goes retrograde. And now Mercury is going to go retrograde in fire signs for 2024. This is creativity, drive, conflict resolution, passion, fun, fertility, the arts and entertainment. Mercury is going to go retrograde in Aries first, and then Leo, and then Sagittarius at the end of 2024. When Mercury, planet of thinking, speaking, communicating, goes retrograde in these signs, we're going in Aries, we'll think of conflict resolution. How have I handled conflict in the past? How do I deal with my anger? Do I release it in a healthy way or do I take it out on innocent victims? When Mercury goes retrograde in Leo over the summer or winter for my Australian listeners, we're going to think about fertility, children, creativity. What do we create? Now that I've figured out the relationships in my life, now that I have boundaries with social media, what do I want to create and how do I want to share it with the world? And then when Mercury goes retrograde in Sagittarius in December, we're really questioning our beliefs. We're really questioning our biggest ideals and dreams and why we want them. So, first, 2024 astrology, first, look to what part of your chart is ruled by Taurus, because we have some blessings arriving. That is set to be a part of your life, whatever house it's ruled by, where you just smile ear to ear like Miss Kaya running around her new farm with her new friends. Then, how do you retrieve and earn these blessings? Well, by growing up and adulting in the part of your chart ruled by Pisces. For seeing people and things for who they really are and not relying too heavily on drugs, alcohol, caffeine, food, sex, the addiction of love. Oh my goodness, the addiction of love and lust is powerful. But not relying too heavily on those things. Giving up today's temptation for tomorrow's reward will really magnify those Jupiter and Taurus blessings. Then look to the houses in your chart ruled by Aries and Libra to learn where you need to trim the fat or tie up loose ends to really fine-tune where you need to let go and release so that practicing self-discipline and adulting is easier so that when you receive the Jupiter and Taurus blessings, you are able to keep them. You know, there's that saying with the lottery, when somebody wins the lottery who was not prepared for it, they usually go blow all the money and lose it. And they're right back. Even if they won $10 million, they're right back to where they were before they won. It's wild how that happens. And so all of the planets work in tandem like the seasons here on Earth. Saturn in Pisces, really practice seeing things and people for who they are, because that can get us into some hot water if we don't. If we fall too heavy into romanticizing the world, which is a beautiful thing, love always your Sagittarius sister, never lose those rose-colored glasses, but practice some self-discipline and grounding energy with it. Question everything you hear from me. Question everything you watch on TikTok and read on Instagram. Everything. So that you are able to keep those Jupiter blessings, because they are going to be core memories of blessings, and you're going to want them to last as long as they can. And the only way you can do that is by practicing the self-discipline with Saturn in Pisces, is by showing up and tying up loose ends with Aries and Libra eclipses, by learning to, Aries, stand up for yourself. Say no is a full sentence. Not be afraid of jumping feet first into new beginnings, even though you don't know how it's going to turn out. Go. And Libra, learning to play fair, learning to accept your differences, learning to agree to disagree, and then have dinner and wine together and laugh over it. To have peace with relationships of all walks and kinds in your life. And finally, expect this year and 2025 to be a core memory. A core memory, I'm saying this in bold, underline, italic, in the part of your chart that is ruled by Aquarius. Whichever house, whichever area of life is ruled by Aquarius in your chart is about to be where you step into your power. It's about to be where you find passion that lights you up like no other. Oh, I'm so excited for this transit. So one last thing that I want to wrap up this episode about 2024 astrology with. We talk about all these new beginnings, about these planets moving into new signs. But one thing that is just important as new transits are transits that are on their last year. Transits that we are wrapping up. And we are wrapping up, you guys, a very big one. We are wrapping up Neptune, ruler of Pisces. We are wrapping up Neptune's transit in Pisces, in its home sign. 2024 is Neptune's last year in Pisces, and Neptune has been here since 2012. Neptune, ruler of creativity, imagination, spirituality, synchronicity, mental health, addiction, vices, right? We talked about Pisces and Saturn and Pisces. It's all the same things. So collectively, since 2012, have we noticed an uptick in overdoses? The opioid crisis, addiction, meth addiction has been huge here in the United States. Have we noticed a mental health crisis? Suicide rates at an all-time high. Mass shootings. Have we noticed mental health collectively being just blown up? 29 is a critical degree in any sign. Every sign is from 0 to 29 degrees. When Neptune enters 29 degree Pisces, we're going to see a final squeeze, a final push. I am a bit worried about the mental health of our collective next year, because it's going to be at such a critical degree. Picture it as the season finale, the encore of Neptune's transit through Pisces. I hope that Saturn comes through and that Jupiter's blessings can soften the edges of this so that we don't see just absolute chaos in terms of addiction, spirituality being just awful. But collectively, since 2012, how has your creativity, your imagination, your connection to your spirituality and faith, how has it been since 2012? What did you start back then? If you can think back to 2012, go look at old photos, old texts, old emails, see what you were up to around that year. What did you start? Spirituality has blown up since 2012. It's you can go online and find a class on how to tap into your psychic abilities like that. I've traveled all over this beautiful country, the United States of America. I'm proud to be from here. And I have seen psychic shops pop up everywhere from South Texas to Austin, Texas, to down South Louisiana, to the most conservative place in New York or Massachusetts you've ever seen. They're everywhere. By the way, Aquarius rules astrology. And when Pluto moves into Aquarius, I can't wait. In the next 18 years, mark my words. Go ahead, receipt. Get a receipt of this. Astrology is going to be used in public school classrooms. You'll print out your birth chart and bring it to therapy with a psychologist, or you'll bring it to a doctor. It's going to become so mainstream, so normal, that every religion and spiritual practice will use astrology in their birth chart again. I just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. But think about your sense of spirituality since 2012. What have you learned about then? About spirituality since then? I think that was the year of the big Mayan calendar. Didn't the Mayans predict this is when the world would end? How synchronistic. Because since then, the world kind of has metaphorically ended. We are all desensitized to mass shootings here in the U.S. anyway. Mental health, there is a crisis of addiction, of mental health, of loneliness, an epidemic of loneliness. Yeah, I'd say the world has ended in 2012. Look to the part of your chart ruled by Pisces. You have Saturn going through there saying, all right, roll your sleeves up. Self-discipline time, baby. Time to adult. But then you also have Neptune that has been transiting through this house since 2012 saying, I'm going to make sure you don't see straight here. I'm going to make sure it feels foggy. I'm going to make sure you feel isolated from this area of life, or I'm going to bring really spiritual, synchronistic people and things on your path to further you along in your spiritual soul development. In 2024, Neptune will be at its final degree, asking us all, did you get it? Do you understand now? Did you understand the assignment that I gave to you in 2012? What is your relationship to spirituality now? Do you see spiritual leaders differently? Do you still own oracle cards, tarot cards? What is your relationship to spirituality now? And also, the house that Pisces rules in your chart, you should be a pro at being able to utilize that area of the chart wisely in a very spiritual, synchronistic sense, but also in a big, self-disciplined, adulting, mature sense, which is really awesome. That is what's to come in 2024. Massive self-development and ushering in a new era of Pluto in Aquarius. I am so excited to all of my Aquarians listening to this. It's your time, baby. We've been waiting for you. All those times you felt bullied by your family, by the world, all those times you felt outcasted and like you don't fit in and that you're weird. Who's laughing now? Okay. I love you guys. We've got some serious transits coming up in 2024, and you don't have to go at it alone. I just gave you the onion of 2024. But if you want to peel back the layers and get to the core of your personal birth chart, I didn't even go into aspects like squares and sextiles, but I will in your personal chart to see how 2024 is about to manifest for you. Please go to lightworkers-lounge.com. Click on birth chart readings, pop over to the transits or the advanced reading, enter code gratitude for a podcast listener discount, and I will see you on Zoom. Come with a notebook. It's going to be a lot. I love you guys. And hey, if you made it this far through the episode, you're a real one. You've spent a lot of time with my voice. We have spent a lot of time in the ethers of Aquarius together, and I appreciate it so much. We just wrapped up 2023 together. I won't be putting out another episode until January in 2024. You guys have been with me since 2018. In fact, it was January 25th, 2018, when I released my very first podcast episode. We've been together for 6 years. You've been with me through my Saturn return. You've been with me through breakups. You've been with me through all of the ups and downs with my pug, Jeffrey. You guys have lived with me all over the United States, from the Southeast to the Northeast to the Midwest to the Southwest. You've been with me in the mountains, in the Caribbean. You've been with me on a beach in Costa Rica or on the beach in Key West. You've been with me everywhere. And I so appreciate your company and your belief in me, in Lightworkers Lounge. I said it back in the day and I'll say it again. Lightworkers Lounge will be a physical location one day. I love the internet, but I want real. I want you guys to come see me and see the microphone and know that this isn't just a podcast you play on your Alexa speaker. This isn't just a voice in your car, your headphones. This is a real person that cares about you. You're not alone. You have help. You have guidance. I'm right here. Lightworkers Lounge will never go away. Feet on the ground, head in the stars. Sending love. Happy New Year.